Welcome everybody to another episode of Life Talk. Today, a special episode that is very relatable to what I do myself, real estate here in Marbella, Costa del Sol. And today we have a very, very special guest, Alessia Sheklova from Russia, living in Dubai and absolutely killing the game right now in Dubai real estate. You might have seen her already on TikTok, on social media, doing a lot of reels, a lot of talks, a lot of property showings. Alessia, welcome to the show. I'm so happy you're here. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
So a little background. When did you move from Russia to Dubai and how did you get into real estate?
I was only 7 years old when my family moved from Russia to Dubai. So I've been here for almost 30 years. So I definitely consider myself more of a Dubaian than a Russian. Yeah, so I finished high school here. Then I went to study in Canada, in Montreal, for my university degree. And in the meantime, my mother set up this company in 2004. And she was absolutely killing it between 2004 to 2008. The real estate market in Dubai was booming. And then in 2008, a financial crisis happened, and that happened to be the year when I graduated. So my mom was a bit, how can I say? Like the times were hard, right? Like when the crisis happened, and she said, why don't you try running the company? I was actually studying to be in healthcare. My passion was in healthcare. And she said, if you don't like it, you can always go back to healthcare. So I said, okay. I took over the company in the end of 2008. I was only 21 years of age. And I think I took it over in the hardest time because you know, the world was going through a global recession. There was no sales happening in Dubai in 2009 whatsoever. So it was mostly rentals. And I built up the company from around 10 staff to almost 100 staff that we are now. But what I always like to add as well is that I didn't do it on my own. I met my husband in 2010, and then in 2012, he also joined Dacia as a partner. So he was really also, he helped me a lot to grow it. So I cannot take all the credit.
That is incredible and so lovely. So you guys have been together for a while.
Yeah, so this year we're married for 10 years and we met in 2010, so 13 years now.
That is so inspiring. I love hearing that so much.
Through real estate.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And would you say, because we talk about this as well on our podcast a lot, would you say that it works well, like working together, living together, being married together?
You know, a lot of people are like so shocked that, you know, we're always together in the office. Yeah. And only recently, it's been, I think, 2 years now that we have separate offices since we've expanded. Before that, we sat in the same office as well. So a lot of people are shocked, but for us, it works so well. And I think we've managed to create, like I said, an amazing business and also an amazing family. We have a six-year-old son. So yeah, for me, it works. It might not work for everybody else. For us, for our relationship dynamic, it works really well.
That's incredible to hear. That's incredible. You don't hear that a lot. So it's beautiful when that does happen. And how would you describe the life in Dubai like for the people that don't know and hear a lot about Dubai? Or might have visited, how is life like from day to day? What is your experience?
Over the 30 years, of course, it has changed so much. I love Dubai so, so much because I've seen it grow. Yeah. I grew up here, so there was nothing. There was no Dubai Marina. There was no downtown. It was just a desert. So seeing the first Dubai Marina buildings develop and then the island of Palm Jumeirah being built, just for me, I've seen the city flourish. Dubai here for me is the best ever. I've lived in Canada. I obviously visited Russia in the summers to see my family. I travel a lot. What I love most about Dubai is the safety. That's the first thing. Second thing I love most about it is the diversity of people. You have people from all over the world, different nationalities, religions. And what's really important, everybody is accepting to one another. There's no racism. There's no discrimination. There's nothing. And third, what I love about it is level of service. So for example, in Europe, not many people have house help. Here in Dubai, every single family almost with a child has a nanny living with them. Everything is so easy. If I want food, I just open Deliveroo. And I know there's delivery in Europe and stuff, but I tried to order something in Amsterdam, actually, you're from Netherlands, by Deliveroo, and the charge was like, I don't know, 10 euros or something. I was like, no, thank you. So it's also very cost effective in terms of like Deliveroo, groceries. I haven't been shopping to a grocery store since 2020, when all the COVID restrictions happened. Everything is online. Like I get all my groceries delivered online, like within 2 hours. It saves a lot of time because, you know, grocery trip, etc., takes time out of the day.
That is.
So yeah, life in Dubai is safe, diverse, convenient, super luxurious if you want it to be. But at the same time, if you're on a budget, there's so many things to do on a budget as well.
I love that. So I have to ask, because one of the number one things that people are, and including myself, my own experience, is that you said cost effective. However, but Dubai right now is extremely expensive, right? Like my friend is right there now living. He spends like $1,000 a day.
As I said, I don't know if you've seen my latest reel that went super viral. It says what to do if your salary is 20,000 dirhams a month.
Well, I think I saw that one. Yeah. Well done.
It's so much. It's a lot. What to do if my salary is only 2,000 dirhams a month, 4,000 dirhams a month, which is around $1,000 a month. So there's people in Dubai living for a very long time on around $1,000 to $1,500 a month basic salary, which is actually like the norm. Of course, there's extremely wealthy people as well, and it's higher end salaries. So Dubai, as I said, is for everyone. If you want to live in Dubai Marina and Palm Jumeirah, of course, you're going to be paying more. But now there's places a little bit further out, which are very affordable. But yes, it did become more expensive since there was a property boom. Since 2020, there was a huge property boom. It became even bigger last year, 2022, when the war started. There's influx of people here, influx of rich people. So yes, it's becoming more expensive. But what I meant, it's affordable from you know, like I said, all the deliveries, all the help that lives with you. So for example, a helper that's living with you gets around $500 to $700 a month, full-time living.
Wow. Oh my God, that is incredible.
So of course, by the way, all the apartments in Dubai,
living in Dubai right now.
Yeah, two-bedroom apartments have a maid's room. It's called a maid's room here. Three-bedroom apartments all have a maid's room, of course, all the villas. So it's very, very normal for a family with a child to have a live-in helper who will help with, you know, child cleaning, pets, anything. Yeah.
So, and I mean, it gives you so much more time, and that time is exactly what we all want more of. So
my mother lives in Switzerland, and she said that for a cleaner to come in is around 30 euros an hour.
Exactly. Yeah. Same here. Yeah.
So that's what I meant in terms of affordable for services.
Wow. That is incredible.
We become very spoiled here.
Oh, yeah. So you said the property boom in 2020, especially last year, that has a lot to do with the Russians as well, right? They can only buy in Dubai and Turkey right now.
No, I think they can buy, but of course there are sanctions, but as soon as the conflict happened in March, so many people came and started buying here, and Russians, Ukrainians, because they see this place as, you know, like it's close, first of all, to Russia, around 5 hour journey, safe, infrastructure here is amazing. You know, what's interesting, when I was studying in Canada in 2004, 2008, I visited America, when I would tell people I'm from Dubai, nobody had a clue what it was. They're like, what, where is that? Which state is it, etc.
Early, yeah.
Now, when you say Dubai, it's like, wow, it's one of the most well-known cities in the world now. And it's not only like Russians that are coming here. It's a lot of Europeans, a lot of, by the way, Dutch people come here, because also it's tax-free and safe.
And safe. That's a big thing that I experienced that as well, which I really love about it. And yeah, I mean, I have a lot of Russian clients coming like, hey, yes, I want to see this. I want to see this in Marbella. So I show them listings, and a big problem right now is that, you know, they move the finances, and that's what I meant with, like, you know, they're very keen on Dubai and Turkey for that specific reason, because of transfer and that stuff. So I'm sure that, you know, you've seen that a lot. Also having
of course, that must be the reason. Yeah. Yes, actually, we used to live in Marbella. My family used to live in Marbella.
Really?
I know there was a huge, like there's a big community of Russians, yeah, in a place called Zagaleta. La Zagaleta.
Yes, I love it. I have a listing there as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So the reason my family moved from there, which was, they had a beautiful property, to Cyprus, is this was before, I don't know, 2019, maybe even before, Spain became so strict on taxes. They had no passport, they had no Spanish passport, but they were still like forced to pay just for living there up to 40% tax on like property, wealth tax and whatever. So I think that's also another reason why wealthy people want to move somewhere where they're not pressured to pay crazy taxes for nothing. Like I said, like my family didn't have a Spanish passport.
Wow.
They have to pay huge taxes on their wealth just because they're breathing Spanish air.
Isn't Dubai introducing tax though? Like
the only, we have a 5% VAT, value added tax on, you know, items like, I don't know, clothing and all that, cars. They're introducing a 9% tax on corporate income, so corporate tax. This is being introduced in July this year. 9%.
9% corporate tax. Okay. I mean, that, yeah.
And so far, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Wow. And let's talk a little bit about, because I have it noted down here, I am impressed by your marketing strategy. I think, and I'm not easily impressed because, you know, especially in a business that we are in, most marketing sucks. And you are just out there and your team, and you do it so fun and so nice. And I found out that you are the most stylish one in the office as well. And how do I know? And it's true. I mean, let's be honest. But I love how you do it. How did you come up? Do you write a creative? Like, how do you do that?
First of all, thank you so much. It means a lot to hear such feedback because a lot of work goes into it. I started small. I started first, there was no reels on Instagram back in the day. So I used to do photos, and most of the photos I used to just do with iPhone, editing myself, etc. Then I started doing reels myself. Then I realized I need help. So somebody used to help me. And now I have a production company who is super good in Dubai. So they shoot all my reels. They come up with content ideas, but of course I have input as well, you know, to tweak something or whatever I say. They cannot write, you know, all the words for me. So I say everything, they come up with a strategy and they do the editing. So I think they do a really great job.
That's great. Would you?
But I think the most important thing, first of all, is putting yourself out there, trying, not being shy with the camera, because I think the number one thing that stops people from being active on social media is not liking to speak on camera or thinking that they would look stupid or not knowing what to say. So it's just
absolutely. And also, I want to talk about a little bit about the in-house production team. I have it as well. I have a team that, you know, I provide housing and all kinds of things because I want to make sure that they're close to me and we can film. We were just in Ibiza to film a new development. So I hear what you say. It's very important to keep those people close to you because they're key. However, if for people that are listening and starting, you don't need all the fluff and the extras yet. At the end of the day, your camera has 4K, your phone. So it's like you can already get going because sometimes we hear that, right? It's a limitation. Oh, I don't have the budget to start, or whatever content you want to create, there is opportunity for you.
All you need is a phone. Like I said, I've started with a phone. And of course, as I grew, as the business grew, I could afford the team. As long as you have a phone. One of my best videos on YouTube channel was me just recording myself with a phone during COVID times at home. And it done so well. It was like a quick market update about Dubai real estate.
I love that. I still got to check out your YouTube. I think I missed that one.
It's not huge, by the way. It's around maybe 3,000 followers, but still. I went to a Gary Vee speech the other day. He was visiting Abu Dhabi. And he said you should just put your content out everywhere. YouTube, YouTube Shorts, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook Reels, LinkedIn. So that's what I try to do. I try to put my content on all the platforms. Some platforms do better, some platforms do worse.
And how, I'm really curious, how does a day, Alessia, look for you like? I have an idea that you're like hardworking, like always in the office, like nonstop. That's my perception. I don't know why.
I wake up at 6 a.m. I have a yoga class from 6:30 to 8. When I don't have a yoga class, I wake up at 7:30 to drop my son to school. And then I come and I get ready. I go to the office. I, of course, have meetings. I see the team. As I said, we have almost 100 staff at the moment. I have content. Sometimes I go visit sites. I see new developments. And then in the evening, I come home. Like, look, now it's 8:30 in Dubai evening, so I'm still not at home. So sometimes I come home at 6. Sometimes I come home later at around 9. Try to come home earlier before my son sleeps to spend time with him. It's really important for me to balance family life and work. Work will always be here, but the years of my son, you know, they go by and he grows up so fast. So really try to make sure that I see him. And what else? And for me, I know a lot of people say, oh, yeah, I work 7 days a week or whatever. For me, no, I really try to take the 2 days on the week of the weekend and spend it with my family. Because for me, as the older I get, as I see, like, you know, people's loved ones are passing away, like grandmas, etc., the more I realize how time is so valuable and it's not just about work.
So you would say 12 hours a day, approximately? I mean, you're like, and I love that. By the way, I'm the same way.
I can't put a number on it because, for example, if I'm going out and shooting, for me, I don't think it's work, but other people will be like, no, it's work.
Yeah, but I also don't think, like, I don't feel like I'm working at all every single day.
Yeah, like, for me, this is not work what we're doing now, but I'm still in the office.
I love this game. I genuinely, like, yesterday, I was with clients all day. We had lunch, you know, and I'm like this white glove service kind of guy, right? Mm-hmm. So I picked them up from the airport, and I showed them around, and they're like so happy. I'm like, I don't care if they buy now or in a month or, like, you know, I just love this. And I don't feel like I've been working. I'm genuinely.
I'm also like, I don't want to say hours, even if I tell you, let's say 12 hours a day or whatever. I don't think it's right, because also what I notice, it's not about how much you work, it's how structured your time is. And what I started doing is I started working more from home on some days of the week, because when I come to the office, there's so many distractions. Everybody wants to speak to me, get my advice, meetings. So what I do is I spend some days when I have a lot of computer work at home. I make sure there's no distractions. So sometimes I work only 4 hours, like a concentrated work, but I get more stuff done than I ever do in one whole day.
Thank you so much for saying this. I have the exact same thought. And we talked about this before, you guys, if you listened. I said, like, once I'm in the office, everybody wants something from you. You're distracted, noise that. And I'm in the middle of Marbella Center with my office. So it's like, not just like people, but like, and here I'm in resort vibe, you know, at home, chill, like, and I'm not distracted. Of course, things happen. I love that you say that so much. And
it's called deep work when you have no distractions. If you continuously get distracted with small things, you're not concentrating. And yes, it might be a 12 hour work day, but how much did you actually do during those 12 hours?
Oh, I struggle with that all the time.
But also going out and meeting people brings business. Sometimes I'm in an elevator and like holding, I don't know, a batch of folder. People are like, are you an agent? You get leads from that. So that's why it's important to balance, like work where you are on your own with your computer and when you're actually meeting people. Personal interaction is also super important.
Just like I said before this podcast, I'm certainly going to send you some leads. I mean, you know, some people want to get into Dubai. That's good. So now we have a connection here. So I want to talk about something that's important. And we talk about this on this podcast, relationship, marriage, and you're a boss, babe. You're a queen. You are killing it. And I can understand that, you know, for some high value man, that's intimidating. A woman that's more successful than them, or it's like really focused on her career. Have you experienced that some men are intimidated by you or they don't know how to deal with it, especially being in Dubai, which, you know, the culture.
Well, in terms of my husband, we grew together.
Just in general, not just, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but in terms of my husband, we grew together. And I think this is what makes our marriage so strong. I believe that, you know, to fall in love for love and not for money. And I feel like we started on the same level. None of us were rich and we just grew together. So we have the utmost respect for each other, for the work we do. And I think this is what makes the relationship successful. So, of course, my husband is not intimidated by me at all. In general, I think from my point of view, I don't feel it, because I think I'm a very open person. I'm very understanding. I'm kind. So from my perspective, I don't. Maybe in some other relationships, things like that happen. I was only in one relationship, like, you know, marriage-wise, so I cannot really comment.
As far as your marriage and as far as like interactions,
yes,
like with men or colleagues or people that you hire. Really? That is.
I don't know. I have such great relationships with my team.
Yeah.
And like all our managers, actually, like sales managers are men. So of course, James helps me, and our two sales managers are men. I have a really, really good relationship with them. I don't like people to call me boss, let's say, you know how you said I'm a boss babe or whatever. I always say that we're in partnership, we're colleagues. Yeah, I don't know.
Wow, I love that. And it's so interesting because I like when I speak about this topic, especially in Dubai, and I just had a podcast as well with a psychologist in Dubai, and she meant, you know, it's also like part of the culture a little bit, and just, I personally love it. I think more women should be in leadership positions. We talked about this as well, if you guys remember. So I love that you say that, and I'm very happy. Because we heard a lot of
it's my personal experience, and honestly, like, so many people ask me, how is it being a woman in real estate, etc.
Yeah.
And for me, I actually get annoyed by that question, because I feel like this question shouldn't even be asked. It doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man in real estate.
Yeah.
You know, I should, you know, the question should be, how is it for you being in real estate? I don't think it should be subdivided in gender. But yes, at the same time, I am aware that a lot of leadership positions are filled with men. But in Dubai, I do not feel any prejudice towards being a woman. I'm the opposite, actually. You get a lot of respect. People are very cultured here. So from my perspective, like I said, I have never felt any disadvantages or advantages being a woman.
I love that. I'm so happy. Like, are you Muslim?
No.
Okay. And I actually did Ramadan last month.
Mm.
And I have come to, you know, actually, when I'm in Dubai, I've been like, I read the Quran, and I felt that all the rooms and the prayer, and I was always in Business Bay. And then, like, I remember being in the canal and on the boat, and there's so much respect. Like, the boats just start like slowing down. You hear the prayers everywhere. It's beautiful.
I love the culture. I grew up here, obviously. I have a lot of Muslim friends. I was born a Christian, but I respect every religion. And yeah, I love Dubai for the fact that it does have such strong family bonds, respect for religion, respect for culture. I think it's really special. I don't think there's many places in the world left where the family bond is so respected.
Are there things about Dubai that you don't like?
When I go to Europe,
yeah,
like I was in Switzerland in March, I think. What I really loved about it, of course, is the nature. So in Dubai, there is nature. If you go to the desert, there is mountains. But in Europe, it's like everywhere. It's in your face, right? Nature, nature. But also what I loved in Switzerland, we were in the mountains, the simplicity. You know, that there's no luxuries, there's no like branded cars in your face all the time. There's no materialism.
Yeah.
And I love that. Because in Dubai, the city like gives off money vibes. Like, you want to be earning money, you want to have a better car, you want to have a better house, a better bag. Like, it's a constant race to get something better. But when I went to Switzerland, I was like, oh wow, life is not just about money.
Oh yeah.
Life is about living.
Yeah, absolutely. Quality of life, 100%. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So when I go to Dubai and I come back to Spain, I'm like, oh, my God, the service in Spain is really bad, because it's so good in Dubai. Like, the service is exceptional. And it's such a so refreshing as well, because in Dubai, they just understand it. And it's like so good. And then here, so you know what I mean? That's the thing that I actually struggle with, because I always want to humble myself and be like, okay, you know, every country has their different levels of service, and it is what it is. But I always get a little bit spoiled in Dubai. Can you relate to that?
As I said, we're so spoiled. That was the first thing we said.
Yeah,
I have everything at my fingertips. Like I said, in-house help, everything delivered. Like we give incentives to our agents, you know, like the boots and shoes or whatever. Like they request, we have a system where they request certain incentives. So this girl requested the boots and shoes today. I just messaged the Labutin guy. He sent me a payment link. The shoes are being delivered now.
What? That is beautiful. So because that was
not just
actually
Labutins, like many different luxury brands.
Yeah, that was my next question, actually. Like, how do you manage such a big team? And you manage, you reward them, you give them incentives. Like they want to come work with you. And I see why.
Social media presence is a huge thing that makes the people feel like they already know the company, like who they're working with. Not just me, because, you know, I show my team as well. So a lot of people just want to come and work with Dacia for the vibe. And then to keep salespeople motivated, they work on commission basis. But then for different achievements during the month, let's say if they're a top salesperson, top leasing person, they get kind of like coins that accumulate in the system, and then they can exchange those coins for various gifts, which are also they get to choose. So whether it's designer shoes, Maldives holidays, luxury car rental for a day, things like that. So it's up to them what they want. And I think that they really like that. It's nice to not only get a big commission check, but also some sort of a gift.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I understand that. What are your favorite places? You mentioned Switzerland. Like, you have time to travel to those places still?
I didn't travel a lot at all during COVID because of all these PCR restrictions, etc. It was difficult to travel. And now this is, I think, one of the first years where, first of all, my son is older, it's easier. And second, the travel became easier. So from 2020 till, I think, even 2022 summer was the first time I traveled. So there was almost 2 years where I didn't travel. So,
really,
but in terms of my favorite places in the world, I love traveling. I actually love Asia. Like, I love Hong Kong, Singapore, Thailand. But I also love Europe. I think every country has so much to offer. And I love, you know, different foods from different countries. I don't have a favorite place, to be honest.
Same. And you know what's funny? So I've been to 72 countries. And I was like, okay, where do I want to settle down? I'm now 30 years old. I just want to settle. And I went to Marbella, Spain. You've been here. And I thought, okay, here I can have the best quality of life, still be in Europe, which is, you know, close to Amsterdam, close to Italy, Portugal, everywhere. I'm quite central.
Yeah.
But I have contemplated Dubai for a while, to be honest with you.
I don't know your tax situation, but the amazing thing about Dubai is that it's tax-free.
Yeah.
And it's very, very comfortable life. Another downside is the hot summer, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I don't like about it, but the winter is just so, so good. And I would rather have the hot summer than the cold winters. I lived in Montreal and Toronto when I was studying in Canada, and for me, that was like horrific. Layers and layers of clothes. Then you go into the supermarket, you have to take everything off, you're grocery shopping, you're carrying your coat. It was like, I'd rather have the hot summer.
And it's so that's why most people, that I think, they leave, right? For the summers. From Dubai.
Yeah, but people like, sorry, my laptop dies. People leave in the summer who can afford it. For example, you know, let's say some moms who don't work, they take their kids and they go to like UK or whatever. But for example, how can I leave? How can I leave for 2 months? So I think people who are either super rich and they don't run a business, or people who don't have full-time work. Or people take their monthly holiday, like you know, regular people, they have 1 month leave a year, so maybe they take it in the summer as well. But yeah, a lot of people leave.
What would you say for the next 4 or 5 years is your purpose? Well, where you wanna head?
I want to grow the business. Like, now I've seen the potential of the business, and Dubai real estate market is booming so much. I'm becoming more mature. Because I did not study business, yeah, when I studied healthcare. So when I started running this company when I was 21, it was very hard. So I learned everything myself, and I'm quite a risk averse person because I feel like, you know, I'm risking family money, etc. We built the whole business organically, by the way, without any loans, etc. So I was very quite careful with money. But now I feel like I'm 36. I feel like I have much more confidence in myself and my abilities. And I really just want to take it to the next level. We are now opening a new branch. So we're going to expand by and have another office. So we'll have three branches now, which will facilitate another 40 agents. And also what I started really learning is the ability to delegate. So I want the business to be self-sufficient, where I can go away for 2 months in the summer. You know what I mean? So yeah, my goal is just growth, personal growth, business growth. Yeah, that's it. Just keep on getting better every year.
I love that. Well, a majority of our listeners are women.
What
do you want to, is there any like words of inspiration or advice that you can give those that want to start a business or want to get into real estate even?
If you want to get into real estate as a broker, for example, I think it's an amazing career. It gives you flexibility with time, you know, because you can schedule your timings, viewings, etc. And it gives you a possibility to earn a lot of money. Our top sales people in Dacia, a lot of the times, are women. Of course, men are also good, but women can compete with men equally and earn life-changing amounts of money in Dubai. I'm not sure how it is in Europe. Also, I think it's super important to believe in yourself and take chances. You only have one life. So if you live at being scared, you will always regret not taking a chance later on down the line. And for me, from my personal experience, having a strong network of support around me is super important. As I said, I've met my husband who really, really helped me with the business. And then, of course, we have very strong managers now within the team who also help. So whether it is going to be a partner in the business or just somebody you can rely on to help you, I think that's...
Which is not easy, by the way, to have people that you can rely on. So that's beautiful that you have that with your husband. So talk also to the single people.
No, but I mean like as a partner, not necessarily like a like business partner,
Yeah, but to also talk about single people, because like dating in Dubai is not easy. I can relate because I've been in Dubai. I know a lot of other successful men that have lived or are living in Dubai. And we talked about this a lot, actually. And it's quite hard. It's quite hard because you see a lot of different intentions. It's quite hard to trust people. So it's also a lot of prostitution. And no, I mean, you know this. I'm sure you do. And oftentimes you don't notice. And I do want to touch on this because you know, for the men that are out there, like going to Dubai, you know, all I want to say is just be careful. You know, don't just trust everybody, just like you wouldn't do that anywhere. But when you like, what as an example, right? I went to Dubai. I was there in a restaurant. We'll mention the name, and I sat there. And there was a woman approaching me. No idea that she had any different intentions. Because I love that when a woman is confident and she's, you know, she shows, hey, I want you, I want to talk to you. I like that. It doesn't always have to be the man. So I reciprocate. And later on, after the dinner and everything, turns out that she wanted to come to my apartment. And I was like, okay, that's quite fast. You know, I mean, I'm sure she just wanted a drink. And so we go to the hotel and she actually wanted to go to the room. I was like, no, you know, we just met each other. Shouldn't we just like, you know, kind of like have a drink first? And no, she insisted. And I was like, why do you insist? And then later on, she told me the whole truth about her intentions. But imagine if I would have said yes, I would have kind of like unknowingly worked myself up towards like some kind of scenario with a woman that I thought might have a good intention, but didn't have it at all. She just wanted to, there was a price tag on it, but she didn't tell it. So all my male friends there in Dubai, they all had a similar experience.
It's so crazy because all the women in Dubai, like good women, my friends say it's so difficult to find a partner. And this is what I hear from men. It's so difficult to find a partner. Wow. I think, because I'm not a dating advice coach, I don't know. I've been always lucky in Dubai.
I think you are. I think you have right to speak. You are married for 10 years in a successful marriage, assumingly. So I think you have a right to speak.
All my previous boyfriends also were from Dubai. So I never had any issue, always long-term relationships. I think as I said, I cannot give dating advice, but I think the best way to find love is, how can I say, maybe within your work environment, you know, meeting people on a professional level, going to networking events. Because yes, in Dubai, if you go to a bar, you're alone, very likely you'll attract somebody like that. You know what I mean? I know people who got married through Tinder. So yes, I know on Tinder, there's like weird things that happen, but I know very, very nice couples who met through Tinder. What else? Yeah, so, and through friends. So I think you should just socialize within a network of nice people. For example, there was I don't know if you know Mind Valley, which is like platform, yeah, for like yoga, meditation and all that, like self-development. So there was a Mind Valley event here in Dubai for 2 days. I went there. I was filled with amazing people. It's even giving me goosebumps now. Everybody on this positive journey, that like open-minded. It was amazing. So for example, I went alone and I met a girl. Now we're close friends through that event. And so many people met each other. So I think if you're trying to find love, go to places like that. Yoga classes, I don't know, something like this, but not to a bar.
I love such a great advice.
Although Louis Alsop, who is CEO of Alsop and Alsop Real Estate, which is one of the biggest real estates here in Dubai, met his wife at a bar in Dubai.
Wow. Okay, so it is possible.
Everything is possible. I think if you're meant to find the one, you will find them. I believe in not pushing for love, I believe in just being open to it, open to the potential, and putting yourself in situations, like, you know, going out there and mingling with people. You can't like sit at home to say, oh, I cannot find a boyfriend or a husband while you're always at home. Nobody's gonna find you like that, right? And if you feel like, you said, bars or restaurants don't work, go to other places where you'll be able to find like-minded people.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't settle for less than you deserve. You have to be the person first to attract what you want. Wow, that is beautiful. Was there anything else that you want to add before we enclose this amazing podcast with so much value?
No, but if anybody does want a career in Dubai real estate, life-changing career, you can reach out to me. I'd be happy to put you in touch with our recruitment team. We hire a lot of people through in Europe, etc., who come to Dubai brand new with prior real estate experience or not. We train them. And one of our top real estate brokers last year and so far for this year is actually a girl who was a hairdresser before. She had her own line of hairdressing salons. So she was entrepreneurial. And she came here 2 years ago, absolutely smashed it and changed her life. So as I said before, take the chance.
That is incredible. That is incredible. And likewise, like if you're here in Marbella, Costa del Sol again, and you know, we're here to help each other. This is a game of partnerships. That's what it's all about. So I really appreciate you so much, Alessia. I like what you do. And like I said, got great respect for your journey, and you being on social and sharing all the fun videos. I really love how you do it. So hopefully we meet one day in Dubai or here in Marbella.
And, definitely give me a shout when you're here.
Definitely, 100%. I will. Thank you so much.
Send us those clients.
Always. And vice
versa. All the Russians who cannot get their money to Marbella will be happy here.
Oh yes, no, 100%. We'll keep it tight. Thank you so much, Alessia.
Thank you.
See you soon. Thank you. Bye.